We judge them. We want to be them or want to be with them. We can't look away, and yet we often hate looking. Their image often defines what we're not and what society believes we should be. They are models, usually women, who strut, pout, smile, and dress in the style of the day. But they are more than pinups or reflections of a designer's intent. They are people.
Well, Nigel Barker, a photographer and former America's Next Top Model judge, profiles 50 models in a new book called Models of Influence, and he's with us now. Nigel, welcome in. You know, before we talk about the women in your book, why don't we talk about your mother, who was a model, and how her experiences, her fortitude, may have shaped who you've become.
Absolutely. Why not? I mean, what could be better than to start by talking about someone's mother? You know, I start my book by talking about my mother because, you know, I like to say that I grew up with a model in the house. My mum in the 1950s and 60s was a model. And, you know, she did relatively well in her home country of Sri Lanka. Models of ethnicity of any type, even in their native countries, struggled to get by because actually even in places as big as China, models were oftentimes Caucasian. Models of the day, women of certain cultures weren't expected or allowed to be seen in magazines or to be seen to be looking potentially flirtatious in a picture. So it was a struggle, but she persevered, and she, you know, even though she got disqualified from a Miss Sri Lanka contest for not being 100% Sri Lankan, she pushed through. She managed to do a lot of great things and moved her family, my family, from Sri Lanka to England, where she continued to model and very successfully for, you know, many, many years. And I grew up watching how she had a profound effect on many people of ethnicity in England, but certainly on our family at large.
There are 50 women highlighted in this book, many of them household names. Why these particular women?
We know after 20 odd years in the business, I've had a great opportunity through various things. Like you mentioned, America's Next Top Model that I worked on for 17 years, where I sat next to the extraordinary Tyra Banks. But I also got to work with Paulina Poroskova, Coco Rocha, Twiggy, Janice Dickinson. And of course, my new show, The Face on Oxygen, with Naomi Campbell and Karolina Kurkova and Lydia Hurst and many other great supermodels. And one of the wonderful things about doing that, and not just working with them for a day, but working with them for months on end, if not years on end, you get to hear their stories. You get to hear the actual struggles that they went through. And, you know, when you look back at time, when you look back at history with someone like Twiggy, the swinging 60s weren't just defined by the sexual revolution and by the Beatles, but also by people like Twiggy who did something as simple as getting a haircut. But that may sound like nothing right now, but at the time, women were stereotyped into the sort of no hair out of place perfection of the 50s. And someone like Twiggy stood for the 70 million sort of disenfranchised youth of America who were coming of age in the 60s, who were all about, you know, rebellion and protest. And cutting your hair was a sign that said, I can be myself, regardless of the fact that, you know, I might look androgynous, I might be a bit skinny, I may be, you know, not what the usual archetypal woman is, but I am myself. And that's what she stood for. And it changed beauty in the way we saw beauty very radically at the time.
So much has been made of the health, the physical health of models and how that permeates throughout society as women and some men try to replicate what they look like and what they're doing. How concerned have you been about that over the years and decades?
I think there's no doubt that, you know, oftentimes models have been far too skinny. I mean, there's no, I think, real great argument against that. Unfortunately, the fashion industry has desired this sort of clothes hanger look for way too long. It has obviously undulated, and there have been times like in the 80s and 90s with models like Christie Brinkley and, you know, even the supermodels who were much more sort of Amazonian and curvaceous. But even models like Twiggy, who were very androgynous at that moment in the 60s, it was less to do with the androgyny in the 60s. It was more to do with women actually saying, we don't need to be stereotyped as having to have curves. We can also be boyish if we want. So the story there behind why she was sort of that kind of look, that anti-fashion, anti-establishment look, is more to do with actually women wanting freedom and women's liberation than it actually had to do with having a healthy body type. And of course, in the 90s, with androgyny and hair and chic and the waif models, that was really a backlash to the sort of grandiose, intoxicating times of the late 80s, early 90s, when, you know, there was a lot of wealth, there was a lot of money, we were very flash, the supermodels were, you know, not getting out of bed for less than $10,000 a day, so on and so forth. And then, you know, all of a sudden, world economies. You know, the Japanese markets tumbled and, you know, Kurt Cobain and grunge music took over, and it was kind of embarrassing to be a part of the sort of commercial establishment. And the fashion industry, with its finger on the pulse of what was going on, really replicated that. And that's why we saw these models that were very anti-fashion and grungy and kind of weird looking almost. It was really a result of what of fashion and modeling mirroring society. Does it mean a healthy lifestyle? Maybe not. But things swing back, and we don't always like what we see in the mirror. You mentioned that right at the beginning of the show, and I think fashion is that mirror all too often.
So many people are critical of models. And what about the negative effect on women? How do you see that?
Well, I mean, listen, there can be a negative effect on women, and there probably has been in certain instances, but there's also been a very positive effect on women. And, you know, there are models like Naomi Sims who battled to be the first black woman on the cover of a magazine and the first black woman to be on a television commercial, and models like Sophie Dahl, who were, you know, considered to be full-figured models at a size 14 that had never done high fashion, but she appeared on the covers of Vogue and every single major magazine in the early 2000s. And things are changing, but it's up to us. And I think more so now than ever, we can't complain as much as we used to be able to when models and celebrities were being picked by magazine editors and photographers to be in magazines and all the rest of it. Now, with social media, we have the power to actually follow and like our celebrities and our models, and the world is watching, and that's why you're seeing Kim Kardashian and Kanye West on the cover of Vogue, is because millions of people are following them and liking them, and the world watches that, and you know that's why they're on the cover.
We're limited in the language we can use on the public airwaves, so I'll just use jerk for a word that could be many other things. Do you have to be successful in this industry, either yourself be a jerk or be surrounded by a manager or somebody else who can really throw the daggers, if you will?
No, I mean, I don't think so, and I think there's plenty of very successful, extraordinary people, I mean, that are wonderful and very charming and nice, but of course, you know, this is an industry that is polarizing, and it isn't so much about being really nice or, you know, being really mean. Obviously, the media and the press always focuses more so on the negative than it does on the positive, because positive doesn't tend to be a great story. It's not something that really grabs people's attention. So we always highlight things that are perhaps more scandalous. But there is a lot of great going on. And, you know, the fashion industry and the fashion community has been well known for being enormously philanthropic and giving back, and does stand for change. But hey, you know, we can't change the way what we like to listen to.
Ultimately, what would you like folks to experience from this book?
I'd like to say that it is a tribute. It's a historical reference that starts in the 1940s, comes all the way to the contemporary times, and really talks about how so many women in the fashion business and so many models really stood as exemplars of what was happening at the time and helped push our ideas and views of beauty forward. And in fact, we wouldn't be in as good a place as we are now, even if I know there's still much to do and the fashion business is by far from perfect. There's also been a lot of work that has been done, and you know, we wouldn't be as healthy as we are today, if you like, with as many women of color, women of ethnicity, women of shape and size, and the men's business as well beginning to boom, if it weren't for many of the women in this book that I've written that really have helped shape our times.
How would you describe today's fashion? And I know today's fashion will change tomorrow and the next day. Are we in a unique period, or are these cyclical kinds of things that come back every 10 or 20 years?
You know, I think actually we are in a unique period. I fashion is obviously somewhat cyclical, but that being said, with social media and the way that, you know, the internet is affecting the world at large, not just the fashion business, communication has changed things so dramatically that, you know, for the first time ever, you've seen, you know, we have models from South America, we have models from Eastern Europe, we have models from China and Asia, models from Africa, models of all shapes and sizes, and this whole discussion about health and things. I mean, the fact that we're even able to discuss it on a global platform means that we can get things done. I feel that we are in a very unusual time when it comes to the topic of beauty and the topic of what's in and what's not in that we've never really seen before. So it's actually quite an exciting time as well.
Nigel, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it, and good luck with the book.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it too.
Thank you.